Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
Welcome back. BC teachers have lost their bitter legal dispute with the province. We just heard live from Premier Christy Clark and Education Minister Peter Fassbender essentially saying this lays down the gauntlet. They're pleased with the ruling, but they want to focus on student outcomes. Joining me in studio right now is Michael Mulligan of Mulligan and Tam. He is a lawyer and has been poring over this. What is your reaction initially to this ruling?
Well, it's a fascinating decision from the Court of Appeal here. British Columbia has had an interesting history over the past 12 or 13 years in terms of labor relations with the teachers and healthcare workers. A previous case, which was related to this one, where the province effectively legislated away some conditions negotiated with healthcare workers, wound up going to the Supreme Court of Canada in 2007. And the Supreme Court of Canada at that point found that there was a constitutional right to, as part of the freedom of association recognized in the Charter, for there to be a good faith collective bargaining. The Supreme Court in that case found that the province had breached that by unilaterally taking away terms of a collective agreement that the province had entered into with healthcare workers. So that is what started this BC teachers' challenge to the similar legislation, which took away negotiated conditions for maximum class size and composition. So this was an opportunity for the Court of Appeal in BC to interpret what the Supreme Court of Canada meant in that health workers' decision, finding that the province's approach was unconstitutional.
Does this set precedents for negotiations with other unions?
It will provide some guidance in this case. One of the things which the Supreme Court of Canada said in their decision in 2007 is that they ruled that the before a government can simply legislate terms of employment, there's a requirement that they engage in good faith negotiation with the union. One of the issues here was whether what the government did amounted to that sort of good faith consultation prior to enacting this legislation.
And how does it work then? I mean, two times before, same case, they ruled in favor of the teachers. Why the different determination now?
An excellent question. What happened in 2002 was that the provincial government unilaterally passed legislation without any consultation, revoking conditions that had been negotiated between the union and the province. And then the Supreme Court of Canada, ultimately in 2007, found that to be improper, that there needed to be some good faith negotiations before that sort of legislation could be passed. What the province did after the trial judge in the teachers' case found that the similar legislation was improper because it had had no consultation, the province engaged in a process of consultation with the teachers over a period of about a year. And then at the end of that, reintroduced legislation which was basically the same as the legislation that was struck down by the Supreme Court. The issue here, one of the central issues for the Court of Appeal, was whether what the province had done over that year's time in terms of speaking to the teachers about this legislation was enough to amount to good faith bargaining or consultation. And ultimately, the Court of Appeal here found that what the province had done was enough. They had had 13 meetings with the teachers, exchanged lots of correspondence, and even though ultimately at the end of it, they imposed conditions taking away those maximum class sizes and composition issues that had been negotiated. The Court of Appeal found that that process of consultation over that year's period, those 13 meetings and correspondence, was enough to satisfy the requirement that there be good faith consultation and negotiation.
So they picked up their game.
Yes, in the sense that the first time they did it, they just did it unilaterally. There was no negotiation, there was no discussion, they just legislated away the things that had been negotiated. Once that was found to be impermissible, the province went back, and before it reintroduced the legislation, they had this process of consultation. And the Court of Appeal found that what the Supreme Court had required in that health workers case didn't necessitate necessarily traditional collective bargaining, sitting down at a table and discussing what the next contract is going to be. They found that it was sufficient that the province engaged in this process of consultation before implementing the legislation again. Mm-hmm. So effectively what's occurred here is the Court of Appeal has, in a relatively narrow way, construed what's required in terms of good faith negotiation before a government would be allowed to legislate terms of employment where there had been a collective agreement. And it's going to be fascinating to watch and see whether the Supreme Court of Canada grants leave to appeal to the BC teachers, and then how they deal with it. Because, of course, that health workers decision that I mentioned from 2007, that was a case where the British Columbia Court of Appeal had found that there was no right to good faith bargaining and negotiation. That case went to the Supreme Court of Canada, and the Supreme Court of Canada overruled the British Columbia Court of Appeal. Mm. So
the highest court in the land.
The highest court in the land. So the interesting thing here is going to be, does the Supreme Court of Canada grant leave or permission to the teachers to come and appeal this Court of Appeal decision, or do they allow this to stand?
Do the BCTF have to approach the Supreme, they have to make that decision to appeal themselves, or is it an automatic, I mean, we're waiting to hear from BCTF President Jim Eicher as to what their next move is. Do you think it's most likely that they're going to approach and say, we're not letting this fight go, because they are banking heavily on this?
That seems overwhelmingly likely, given their statements so far. There is a substantial amount of money involved. There are substantial issues here. The issues are, effectively, can the teachers negotiate how big their classes are going to be, and how many special needs children there would be in the class, and what sort of support they're going to get for them.
Should they have that power, yeah.
Can they negotiate that in the future? So that's an important issue.
Listeners, what do you think? BC teachers have lost their bitter legal dispute with the province. When we come back, we're taking your calls. We are with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan and Tam. Stay with us.
Email talk at CFAX1070.com. Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070. When it rains, it pours. Or will it? We get it right with an accurate, up-to-the-minute forecast. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
A new roof is a big investment. One of the most important decisions you can make for the protection and value of your home. Before you do anything, look into a steel roof from Irwin Industries. It's fireproof, moss-free, with clean lines and concealed fasteners. Available in over 40 colors, your new roof will last virtually forever. Call them for the last roof you'll ever need. 875 Viewfield Road, online at steelroofvictoria.net. Call 382-5154.
It's just a little plastic.
It might just be a little plastic to you, but to everyone, it's a lot. Recycling your plastic bottles provides an 86% energy savings over manufacturing new plastic. That's why Return It gives bottles a second chance. Once returned, they're washed, shredded, and washed again. Then the shreds are pulled, stretched, and melted into fiber for new bottles, buckets, carpet, rope, and much more. Return your used beverage containers to a Return It depot to give containers a second life. Visit returnit.ca for a location near you.
Right now is the best time to purchase new tires for your vehicle. That's because Tires at Cost.ca is offering you massive savings during the Tires at Cost event. You'll find huge deals on all makes and models of Michelin, Goodyear, BF Goodrich, Uniroyal, and Bridgestone tires, just to name a few. Go online at TiresAtCost.ca to price out a vast selection of tires, all available at cost. You pay what the dealership pays. Tires at Cost, brought to you by your friends at Harris Victoria Dodge. Come take a look at Yates and Cook. More info at TiresAtCost.ca.
You're out in the wilderness. The bees are buzzing, the birds are singing, the sun is shining. But you can't enjoy any of it because you just found out your stove won't light, your heater doesn't work, your brakes are worn out, and your roof leaks. Make sure your RV is ready for spring with a spring inspection from Tom's RV Service and Supplies. They'll check your brakes, bearings, batteries, propane tanks, electrical, roof, exterior seams, and a lot more. Prices starting at just $175 only for a limited time. Do it now, do it better. Tom's RV Service and Supplies. Off Jacqueline in Langford.
Hi, it's Tom. What was your address again? Huh, that's where I am. I thought I was at the wrong place. No, I'm on your roof, and it's in good shape. You're at least 5 years from needing it replaced. You're very welcome.
Sometimes you don't need a new roof. And if that's the deal, Ariel Roofing will tell you.
I'm Tom Williams, owner of Ariel Roofing. We're honest about roofing. For a free estimate, get in touch at arielroofing.ca.
Helping Victoria children and their families in need all year round is what CFAX Santas Anonymous is all about. I'm Al Farabee. Your donation to CFAX Santas Anonymous builds local playgrounds for kids to play, helps a Victoria child go to camp when their parents couldn't afford it, and helps a local family who lost everything in a fire.
Helping Victoria children and families in need, no matter what the need. Donate to CFAX Santas Anonymous now at CFAX1070.com. Where the conversation gets steeped. Cafe Victoria Saturday with Bruce Williams at 3 on CFAX 1070. Bringing you deeper into the story. Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
Welcome back. BC's highest court has ruled the province did not violate teachers' charter rights, reversing two lower court decisions in favor of a union that has fought for class size and composition clauses in its contracts. With me in studio is Michael Mulligan of Mulligan Tam Pearson. We're talking about what this really boils down to. And Michael, if you could reiterate for us what this ruling in layman's terms really amounts to.
What it amounts to is the Court of Appeal has found that the degree of consultation the province had before they legislated away these contractual conditions to limit class sizes and how many special needs kids could be in a class was enough. When courts are called upon to decide issues like this, they're not looking at it from the point of view of whether the process was fair or right or the way it should be. They're looking at it from the point of view of whether it's constitutionally permissible. Is the conduct of the government so poor as to breach fundamental constitutional rights in this case, freedom of association, which includes this right to collective bargaining. So the court isn't, the British Columbia Court of Appeal is not endorsing what the province has done or the merits of those decisions. They're simply saying that this process of consulting the teachers before they legislated away these negotiated conditions was constitutionally enough. What the province did met the minimum standards. So it's not an endorsement by the Court of Appeal or the Court of Appeal saying that this is a wise approach to labor negotiations, or it's not the Court of Appeal saying that the decision to allow larger classes is a good idea. It's simply the Court of Appeal's conclusion that what the province did met the bare constitutional minimum.
Four out of five appeal court judges agreed to overturn. How does that work when one doesn't? I mean, what could they have read differently into this?
Well, the fifth judge in this case came to the same conclusion as the others, but did it in a different way, which judges are entitled to do. They can sometimes you'll see helpfully a decision from all of the judges, but in other cases, a judge would take a different approach as this one did. In terms of what might happen at this point, if the BC Teachers Federation wishes to appeal the matter to the Supreme Court of Canada, the first step for them would be to ask for what's called leave or permission to appeal. The Supreme Court of Canada, being one court dealing with appeals from the whole country, can't hear every possible appeal from every Court of Appeal.
You
in
just
the
don't rock up there and say, I want to appeal.
No, they'd be utterly overwhelmed. Yeah. They can only deal with 100 and some odd cases from the whole country for the whole in a year. So they have to be selective. And so when a party asks for leave or permission to appeal to the Supreme Court of Canada, one of the things that the Supreme Court would look at is whether the decision is one which would be of national importance, sort of importance more than just to the particular parties that might be aggrieved, but whether the decision would be one of national importance. And this might be, in the sense that that decision from the Supreme Court of Canada in 2007, dealing with the healthcare workers' decision in BC, that fundamentally altered the landscape for collective agreements and negotiations in Canada. Prior to that decision,
how did it alter it?
Well, prior to that decision, there was no constitutional right to collective bargaining. That case from the Supreme Court looked at what was meant by freedom of association and previous decisions, and the court found in that case that that constitutional provision, the right to freedom of association, included the right to collective bargaining, which has as part of it the right to bargain in good faith with the other party. Good faith bargaining would mean parties having legitimate negotiations, being prepared and open-minded to being persuaded to change their position. Okay. It wouldn't be enough for a party, let's say the government, to say, look, we'll sit here and listen to you all day long or for as long as you wish, but our position is in stone. You're getting nothing, and nothing will change. Feel free to talk as long as you wish. Mm. That wouldn't be a good faith negotiation or consultation. There has to be more than that. But this case from the Court of Appeal will help define what is required. What is the minimum? And it may be that the Supreme Court of Canada would want the opportunity to provide further guidance that would be relevant across the country yeah. to, well, what's meant by that? What is a good faith negotiation? What kind of consultation is enough?
So unions across the country would be watching and waiting.
I imagine they would. It would be very important, right? If you were a union in Nova Scotia or Ontario, you'd be keenly want to know, well, what's required here? What degree of consultation are we entitled to?
Yeah. Well, just to let our listeners know that we are awaiting a news conference with BCTF President Jim Eicher. All eyes on him now to find out what they're going to do. We believe he's going to speak sometime between 11:30 and noon. We will carry that live so that you've got this full story unfolding here on CFAX 1070. How much would it cost to take an appeal like this to the Supreme Court?
A lot. I guess that would be the short answer to it.
Millions, roughly?
It could cost at least tens of thousands of dollars to do it. It's a substantial amount of work. There have to be factums prepared, leave applications prepared. A great deal of work would go into it. But the dollars here are so significant, right? The province was talking about sort of, is it $1 billion? What does it amount to? And there are issues like, are these things retroactive back to 2002 when the government legislated away these negotiated contractual conditions? So there's a substantial amount of money involved. It's an important issue for both parties. So I would expect that even though the legal costs might be significant, they would pale in comparison to the many tens of millions of dollars involved and sort of at stake here.
Would it be legal for other unions to kick in money to back the BCTF?
Yes, and that wouldn't be an unusual thing. There can even be, when a case goes to the Supreme Court of Canada, there can be other parties that can seek permission to be what's called an intervener, to be allowed to show up and make submissions to the court to try to persuade them one way or the other. So you might see here, if they got leave, you might see other provinces seek to intervene and argue on behalf of the province, some other province, that there should be a minimal degree of consultation required. Or you might see other unions wish to intervene and argue that, no, much more should be required.
I want to get in a couple of emails or Facebook comments here. We did ask people how they felt about the fact that BC teachers have lost their bitter legal dispute with the province. Paul writes in, it's outrageous. John says, bull. Ron says, good employer should set working conditions for employees. Lucy says, a sad day. Glad my daughter is graduating this year, but worry for my grandkids. When it comes down to the timeline that we would be involved with now, as I mentioned to CFAX listeners, BCTF President Jim Eicher expected to speak within the next half hour or so. How long does this permission to appeal that you described in the process, how long could it be before the Supreme Court of Canada, should the BCTF choose to do this, which is likely, as you say?
Sure.
How long will this all take?
It's likely to take a number of months before we would know whether the Supreme Court of Canada is going to grant leave. We could be well into next year before a hearing was set, if they got leave to appeal. It's an extended process. I mean, at the end of the day, these are sort of legal issues about things like the amount of consultation that's constitutionally required. But fundamentally, this dispute between the teachers and the province of British Columbia is over money. How much money is the province going to provide for the education system in the province? If the contractual agreement to limit class sizes and have more special needs teachers and librarians and those sort of things was upheld, it's going to cost money. That's the essence of it.
Columbia.
It's a dispute about how much money does the province wish to spend educating children. How big are the classes going to be? And it's pretty straightforward. The bigger the classes are, the fewer teachers you have, the less money it costs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the dispute's over, is money. And does the government wish to prioritize education of children, or are they going to put their money into health care or something else?
Well, I'm sure glad that you're our guest today, because you've really done a great job in boiling things down for us. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Been talking to Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam, and Pearson. He's going to be my regular on Legally